I said, what's that? He said, that's a trip from Calgary to Vancouver. I said, that's through the Canadian Rockies. It must be beautiful. 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 Oh, he said, oh. Oh, oh, oh. He said, oh. So I said, well, tell us about it. Understand those Canadian Rockies are something to see. Oh, my, oh, oh. He goes, oh. Well, I said, understand there's a place there where it takes a drop of about 1,400 feet. And the railroad just keeps curving around on the edge down there to get to the bottom. What's that like? What's that like? Oh, oh, oh my, what's that like? He says, oh, and he goes like that. Well, I looked at my wife and shrugged my shoulders. I was trying to find something out, see. And we were getting closer to the city center. And I really figured I better not ask anymore, because we were overtaxing the angels already. And the more I asked, the more excited he got. I want to go. You can imagine, I want to go. So I just can't wait. I was thinking as he was going through his oohs, ohs, and ahs, if he'd been in a hospital, they'd rushed him to intensive care. I know they would. That's how I feel about Christ. Young people, I hope you feel that way about Christ. I hope it shows. You know, it says, be ready to answer any man, every man that asks you the reason, the hope it's in you. I hope they ask tomorrow, because I hope it just shows like that. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh. Well, that's the best description he could give, no matter what I ask. We're going to turn to Ecclesiastes, written by the wisest man that ever lived in this world apart from Christ. That's where he got his wisdom. You know, it's wonderful, but Solomon can warn you, young people. He wrote 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs, and one faithful sermon. That's this. One faithful sermon. Sermons are for men. Today in the world, in Christendom, we had a lot of sermons, I know. God doesn't need a sermon. God needs worship. He wants his son offered up. He doesn't need a sermon. We need the sermon. That's the faithful sermon right here in the heart of the Word of God. Young people, this world is going to take your heart and not leave any room for Christ. That's the sermon we're going to have. Solomon wrote three books in their perfect order, in the perfect place in the heart of the Word of God. Proverbs. That's the heavenly wisdom for an earthly pathway right down here. If you're saved or lost, you read and follow Proverbs. You're going to have some blessing in your life. That doesn't take care of eternity, of course. But you have some blessing. And then Ecclesiastes empties one of self. That's what we need. Empties one of self. So that the Song of Solomon can fill that empty self with Christ. That's what we want. Lovely, isn't it? Our brother yesterday was bringing it to us that we must grow as saints, as children of God, or we go backwards. No standing still. No standing still. He said, grow up. But to do that, you got to go down. I like that. You got to go down. That's what we had in the second chapter of Philippians. We had a brother in Toledo who said, wouldst thou be great? Then lowly serve. Wouldst thou go up? Then go down. But go as low thou wilt, the lowest, the greatest has gone lower still. The greatest has gone lower still. You can't get down that far. But young people, you got to go down. You need the emptying out process. You need to be warned about this world and yourself. And then you could be a testimony for Christ. There isn't much time left. You can do what I should have done and didn't. What a privilege you've got. What a privilege. If we had more double D's, we'd have more double O's and less double H's. You say he's speaking pidgin English of the Caribs. No, that's just initials. Double D's down in the dust. That's where Job was. It took 42 chapters to get him down, but he got down. And then God blessed his latter end more than his beginning. And that's what I'm concerned about with you young people, your latter ends, not the beginning. Now, the rest of your time. You have your double D, if you're down the dust, if you've emptied yourself and realize what you are, then you can be a double O, out and out. Out and out for Christ. Wonderful to be a double O. We'll have less double H's, half and half, and half and half is nothing. Half of this world and half of the assembly is nothing. Because the world crowds in, Satan will make sure of it. Now let's look at Ecclesiastes. This man was equipped to do everything and he did it. Yeah, let's turn to Kings. We'll look at 1 Kings chapter 4. I'll just read a few verses. Time goes. 1 Kings chapter 4. Verse 20, Judah and Israel were many as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating, drinking, and making merry, and Solomon reigned over all kingdoms. Verse 22, Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour, 80 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen out of the pastures, 100 sheep, besides harts, roebucks, fallow deer, and fatted fowl. He had dominion over all the region on the side of the river. Verse 26, Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers, his chefs, provided victual for King Solomon. For all that came unto King Solomon's table, every man had a month, they lacked nothing. 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, largest of heart, even as the sand that's on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom exceeded the wisdom of all the children of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than all men. Now turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Verse 13. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in one year, 603 talents of gold, beside that which chapmen and merchants brought. And all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. Verse 19, 20. And all the drinking vessels of King Solomon were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold, none silver. It was not anything accounted of in the days of Solomon, for the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Hiram. Every 3 years once came the ships of Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. I could go on. You could read on. None like him in wealth, in power, in the ability to do anything he wanted. Now, Ecclesiastes. This is a warning, and young people, take it. You don't have to learn. You don't have to have loss. You can have all blessing, all gain, all advantage in your life, all glory, and Christ as well. It's wonderful. You see, the Song of Solomon, the Ecclesiastes views death on this side of the grave, and it views death not as the result of sin or the wages of it, but it views death sort of as a worm eating away at the root of life and finally taking it. There's 7 times Solomon speaks to the dearest one he knew. He took him as his companion. I communed with my own heart 7 times. And 7 times we have this expression, pursuit of the wind. That's it. Pursuit of the wind. Chapter 1. Nothing new under the sun. That's what I call it. Nothing new under the sun. It's the one grand circuit. That's what it is. Chapter 1. He gives the conclusion first. Verse 2. Vanities of vanities, says the preacher. Vanities of vanities. All is vanity. And he comes to his conclusion after doing everything. That would be chapter 12, verse 18. Vanity, or verse 8. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Vanity is the same word here as idle, nothing. 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 Pursuit of the wind. That's what it is. Now let's look. One grand circuit. That's chapter 1. There's nothing new. Nothing new. Under the sun you'll find 28 times in Ecclesiastes, because that's where we're talking about. If you're lost, this is what you're going to have. Nothing. And if you're saved, this is going to be the result of your life. Shipwreck. Worse than nothing. Not your soul, your life here. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he takes under the sun? There's the question. One generation passeth away, another generation is coming. And the generations just keep going one grand circuit. This earth is in a circuit. All the heavenly bodies are in a circuit. Everything is going in a circuit. The sun, it rises, the sun is set to rise again, and so it goes. Grand circuit. I have some long trips. My longest is Houston to Phoenix. I don't like motels, and so I try to make it. It's a long one. Last time, I left about 4. I watched the sun come up. Beautiful. I love that. And I watched the sun go down. And after dark, I pulled into a rest area. And in the rest area, I pulled right up behind a beat-up old van. Mexican plates. But I saw something on the bumper. I can't speak Spanish, but I know Cristo. I saw 3 girls coming out of the building for the van, so I went out and gave them something that speaks of Christ. And 3 scripture balloons. They thanked me, and I went in. When I came out to my car, they came running over from the van. Mister, everybody in there are Christians too. Oh, I said, is that right? Let's go see about this. So I went over, opened the van. It was like sardines, packed full. They were all smiling and grinning from ear to ear. I says, praise the Lord. Christ is everything. Amen. Amen. Isn't that lovely? Fellowship right away. The old man at the wheel, I said, after we talked a while, I said, how do you like Texas? He says, how do you get out? How do you get out? He said, the sun she rise, the sun she set, I'm in Texas yet. You know what I said? I said, the day she come, the day she go, me too, amigo. And they all laughed in the van because somebody pulled one little greater than old granddad. Well, that's what we have here, you see. It just never ends. I bedded down. I suppose they did, because the next day I watched the sun come up again. And they passed me with their horn blasting and everybody hanging out and the arms flying. Oh, and that's fellowship. You know what that is? That's fellowship. I love it. All right. The wind. It goes towards the south. It goes towards the north. It whirls. And then it returns and starts the circuit again. That's the grand circuit of this world and life. All rivers run into the sea, but the sea's never full. To the place from whence the rivers came, they return. And I'll tell you something. The waters that we're enjoying now, the farmers and everyone else, is the same waters that came down on Noah. It's a circuit now. One grand circuit. The thing that hath been, verse 9, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun, and that's chapter 1. Young people, don't expect to find anything in this world. It isn't there. That's what he's saying already. Satan has his baubles, but they burst and there's nothing there. In Ireland on a mountainside was a huge boulder. Young man found it, a little village. And there was an inscription, barely visible, ancient looking. Turn me over, I'll tell you more. He was so excited he couldn't hardly stand. Get back to the village, quietly, secretly, gathered together his closest friends. This is going to be great, probably a treasure. They went up there, and with great effort, they turned that boulder over. And another inscription at the bottom put me back where I was before. That's what you've got in this world. There isn't anything new. There's no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be remembrance of things that are to come, or with those things that come after. Why? Because man can't learn from experience. That's why. Alexander the Great wasn't the first to try to conquer this world, and Hitler won't be the last. I gave my heart to search out and to seek everything. The rest of this says this: I communed with my own heart. Verse 16. I've come to great estate. We've seen that estate. I'm going to do everything. And he did. Now I'm going to tell you, young people, he did everything. I mean everything. I made a list. I'll give it to you. Don't try and copy it if you want it. I'll give it later. But I made a list. I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll stand corrected. But here it is. And I'll give you just quickly the chapter and verse. I'll just say the chapter and verse, you know. Science and knowledge was the first thing. Chapter 1, verse 4 to 16. Pleasures and mirth, 2, 1 to 2. Wine and strong drink, 2, verse 3. Construction and building trade, 2, verse 4. Agriculture and farming, 2, verse 5. Reservoir and irrigation projects, 2, verse 6. Great possessions, 2, verse 7. Wealth and treasures, 2, verse 8. Music and entertainment, 2, verse 8. Lust and gluttony, chapter 2, 10. Misanthropy, 2, 17 to 22. Materialism, 2, 24 to 25. Fatalism, 3, 1 to 15. Deism, 3, 16 to 22. Natural religion, 5, 1 to 6. Philanthropy, 5, verse 8. Children, 6, 3, morality, 7, 1 to 6, nostalgia, 7, 10, philosophy, 8, 16 to 17, marriage, family, and planned retirement, 9, verse 9 to 12, youthful pleasures, 11, 9, and writing of books, 12, 12, education and learning, 12, verse 12. In those 24 categories, you're going to put everything, everything, everything. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Take it from the wisest man that ever lived who could do it. That's what I'm telling you. Let's go on. I would like to say something, though. Science and knowledge. The first one he tried. Timothy, it tells us, avoid the profane. I'm trying to get there without turning. A profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. That's what he tells you now. Any science book, any book that contradicts this book is science, falsely so-called. That's it, because this is true. That's an easy test, isn't it? This is true. He tried it. I could tell you this, the largest library collection in the world is in France. All scientific books, copies, if not the originals, ever written, not one, has lasted 50 years without being disproved and discredited and shelved. All right, we go on. I just want to mention one other. Pleasures and mirth. Hebrews 11 says this. Pleasures of sin. God's honest. There is pleasure of sin. For a season. That's the bad part, for a season. You reap what you sow. Wine and strong drink. I think that was mentioned yesterday. Let's turn to a chapter, Proverbs. Proverbs. He tried it, by the way. Proverbs. Chapter 20. Verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Chapter 23. Chapter 23, Proverbs. Verse 30. Verse 29. Who hath woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of the eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed drink, mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine, when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. It moveth itself aright. When it's moving itself aright in sight, it moves itself too out of sight right there. And when mind moves, the first place it moves to is your mind and your brain. And it takes over. Satan captivates your brain then. You're no longer your own, in control at all. Nothing. Solemn thought. I was walking early this morning. I got near a park. It was dark and I heard voices. Maniacal voices. One sounded like Tarzan the Ape Man. The other like a cow in travail. I knew what it was. The wine was moving, all right, inside. Taking over their minds. Solemn, isn't it? It's taking over their minds. They were going to hurt themselves or hurt some innocent person, maybe me. I prayed. I didn't take 20 steps. I saw two lights coming. God's wonderful. And I saw on the top of that car some colored glass. And I stopped it. I said, "Officers, there's some men in this park. And they're not in control of themselves. They're going to hurt themselves or some innocent party. I suggest you give them free lodging and board till they're all right." They thanked me and went, and I went. This is what we're talking about. Solomon tried it. Don't you try it. You lose control. Satan takes over, and the devil makes your mind his plaything, and he loves to do that. Well, let's go on. I just want to mention a couple others. Maybe I shouldn't take this time. Children, that was my 17th. He tried it. I don't know how many he had. Children can be a disappointment. When they receive Christ, we rejoice. But when they go on with Christ, we rejoice more. But they can be a disappointment. Luke 15, the man had two sons. They both wanted his money. That's really what's in the heart of children. They want that. They covet. He gave it to him ahead of time. The younger son said the first recorded words, "Father, give me." In Proverbs 30, it says the leech has two daughters. What's the names of the two daughters? Give me, give me. Both the same. You know, that's it. Children, they can be a disappointment too. He tried. But today the parents are just as bad that way as the children. I see bumper stickers. We're outspending our children's inheritance. That's great too, isn't it? That's just as bad. That's the heart. That's this world. All right, we go on. Let's see. Mirth. He tried it. Mirth. Just pleasure and mirth. You know, that's something that really gives away fast. There were some men who were followers of Rousseau. And he's one who said, "There is no God, just have a ball." And they were either agnostics or atheists, but it didn't matter. They were mockers. And they decided to go in the catacombs just to have some fun. Ridicule, really. How sad. And as they're in those catacombs, embarrassing all the ones that were there, among those bones of the martyrs, Christian martyrs, one of them got lost. Wasn't long till the light went out. There he was, in darkness. Total darkness. Groping around among the decaying bones of the martyrs and the hidden tombs and vaults. And it wasn't very long till he cried out to God, the one he didn't believe in. The search party found him the next day, and they led one out of there. No longer a scoffer, but a saint. You see, mirth gives way in darkness. Mirth gives way at death. Mirth is nothing. He tried it. He tried everything. I better not go on that. Let's go on. Chapter 2. No advantage, I call it. It's no profit under the sun. No profit under the sun. He gave himself to do all these things, and what did he say? Notice. Verse 11, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I labored, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. No profit. Profit here means advantage. Something that you have more than what you had when you began. None. None. You know, Jonah went the wrong way. He went towards Tarshish, the world, destruction. But he paid the fare all the way. He paid the fare all the way down. He's not called a prophet in the Old Testament. He's not worthy of it. He was unwilling. And I would suggest for young people, if any of you are paying the fare and going into this world after a time like we've just had, turn in your badge, your ambassador's badge. You're not worthy of it. We're ambassadors of Christ. What all the grace of God, Jonah's called a prophet in the New Testament, that's grace. That's the way the Lord is. That's grace. He gives you credit for anything you do, whether you deserve it or not. He's just that way. But how sad. He went down, he paid the fare. All right, no profit, no advantage. Just look at it. There's no profit under the sun. Notice verse 12, what can a man do that comes after the king? Young people, take that from Solomon. He had everything. He could try anything, and he did. What can you do in this world after him but gain loss? That's all, loss. One event happeneth to of all, the end of verse 14, and here it comes. D-E-A-T-H. That's continually gnawing away in this world at all the lives. Verse 16 at the end, how does a wise man die? He dies as a fool. And so we get down to the end of this second chapter, and we find out, I'm not going to read the verses, but here's what he says. If all there is in this life, then you might as well eat, drink, and spend your earnings. That's it. It's terrible. Chapter 3, responsibility, I call it responsibility. In chapter 3, I'm going to skip verse 13, verse 15, I better get on at the end. God requireth that which is past. God requires that which is past. He's bringing God into it now. All this is just loss. But more than that, you're going to count to your Creator. God requires what's past. And he says in verse 20, we all go to one place. We're all dust and we all turn to dust again. Now apart from something after death, man is no different than a beast. That's what he says. Except this, verse 21, the spirit of man goes up and the spirit of the beast goes down. The spirit of man returns to the God who gave it. The spirit of the beast goes down. The spirit of man is going to have to go on forever and ever. A man has a life that never ends. And Solomon is getting at it right here. Responsibility. Chapter 4. We'll go quick because we got some thoughts here I want to get out. I call this more than conquerors. You know, I told you find Christ anywhere in the Word of God. Old Testament, too. Now, he starts out with, there's no comforter for those that are oppressed. That's what we need. We need a comforter, and Christ is the comforter, and he sent another one, the Holy Spirit. But we'll go on. He said, if there's nothing else but this, then, verse 13, or 2, I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are alive. And yea, better is he than both of them, which hath not yet been, who hath not seen all this evil under the sun. The dead are better than the living, and better he that hasn't even been born than he that's already lived and gone through the evil. That's this world. Now, verse 9. I'm not going to read the whole verse. 9 to 12. But you know the verse. It's twos. Twos. And all of a sudden, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And that is Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Christ. Chosen. Before the foundations of the world in Christ, there's three cords. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, there's the three cords. You can use it husband and wife and Christ in the marriage. Three cords. Christ is brought in quickly here, and how beautiful it is. Chapter 5. 5, of course, is the human number. Number of man. There's no difference, is what I title it. The king or the beggar, it's all the same.
It's all the same. I'll go down to verse 9. The profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. The king eats the same bread from the same field that a beggar does, only it's wrapped a little nicer, that's all. The king enjoys the same warmth of the sun that the beggar does, only he sits in the palace lawn or in the palace patio in a nice chair, and the beggar sits on the ground leaning against the wall. But they both enjoy the same heat. Solomon says, what's the difference? Moreover, verse 9, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. But he that loveth silver shall never be satisfied with silver. He that loveth abundance, never with increase. This is vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is they? Are they save beholding them with their eyes? When goods are increased, they're increased. They got to have more. I just mentioned this, young people. A double income family can't cut back to one. We've increased with the goods. The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, but the abundance of the rich does not suffer him to sleep. And there's a sore evil. Verse 13, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. It isn't the money that's the root of all evil. It's the heart, the love of it. It's the heart, the love of it. And I don't have to tell you the stories about the millionaires, now billionaires, that leave everything behind. They came in with nothing, they go out with nothing, and they don't even know who's going to enjoy it. But I was called to a hospital once. It doesn't have to be a billionaire to have this problem. I was called to a hospital by a daughter. Her father, mother dead, her father was dying. He was in intensive care when I got there. He had tubes in him, every place, and needles, nose and mouth. He couldn't say a word. All the noises of the machines. At the foot of his bed was a man with a long black robe. And on either side were some women in habits. And I went to that man. I knew he didn't have much time. And he had something clutched in his right hand. It was a book. They couldn't get it away. And I preached Christ to him. I told him, you receive Jesus now. As your Savior, you go directly to glory. You'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord, and that's so wonderful, I can't tell you how wonderful it is. I gave him Christ. He didn't need rights, he needed Christ. What are last rites when you don't have Christ? I saw a tear from his eye. I was holding his hand, I felt a squeeze. I left. After prayer. He died shortly after. And the coroner said he had a long time releasing that grip from the book. It was a bank book. That bank book ended on my desk. And his daughter said, that's all Dad had. Everything he had right there. Something? What are we going to do? I opened it up. $123.47. I said, we're not going to do anything. It costs more to release it than to let the state have it. That's it. That's what he had. It tore him. It grabbed him. He had it. He clung to it. She said, one of those women in black told me about the tear. I told her about the hand squeeze. We leave it with the Lord. We leave it with the Lord. Let's go on. Riches kept for the hurt. Young people, don't get into it. A lot of my brethren are in jobs in which they can get rich. If the Lord wants to, as a good steward, he'll do it. I had a prayer I prayed every day. I give it to you. Lord, keep me from riches and keep me from poverty. I wanted to pay my bills and he helped me. As he came forth out of his mother's womb, naked, he shall return to go as he came and shall take nothing of his labor. He shall carry nothing away. At the end of 16, he labored for the wind. He labored for the wind. The expression, the pursuit of the wind, is seven times, though, in this book. The pursuit of the wind, young people. Chapter 6, he'll leave all behind. 6 is the number of incompleteness, one short. And I'm not going to go into all this, but that second verse says, if you have wealth without health, you have nothing. If a man begat 100 children, verse 3, and live many years, so the days of his years be many, but his soul isn't full, it's empty, he has nothing. The last verse. For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life, which he spends as a shadow? Who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Chapter 7. None good. None good. I'll just read a verse. I'm not going to take time to get into all this because I can't. I wish you would. Let's see. Verse 20. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Notice verse 29. Although this only have I found, God hath made man upright, but they've sought out many inventions. Earth dwellers invent, children of God discover. There's a difference, isn't there? We were discovering for 2 days, and we'll discover the rest of our time here until he comes. And the discoveries are so precious, and they get better and better. We discover man invents. Many inventions, that's all he does. Inventions keep his mind occupied. Inventions try to cover up his problem. Religion is an invention of man, Cain. But the first invention was Adam. Mother, they say, is necessity is the mother of all invention. I suppose that's what the world says. Adam and Eve had a need. They sinned, they were naked, and they knew it. What's that first invention? They sewed fig leaves together and made an apron. I suppose if it worked and anybody else to buy it, the Taiwanese would have mass-produced it, but it didn't work. Didn't work. That was the first invention. He's been inventing ever since. Man invents. That's all he can do. I've often thought when we go, we may go through this gold ceiling. Beautiful. Won't keep me. When the shout comes, won't keep you when the shout comes. But there may be astronauts up there, or the Russians too, in all their grand inventions. And won't we pass them fast? Won't we pass them fast? 8. New beginning. There's no power in the day of death. Verse 8. There is no man that hath power over his spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. There's no discharge in that war. No discharge in that war. Verse 16. I plied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that's done under the earth. For there also there is that neither day nor night see his sleep with his eyes. And then I beheld all the work of God. Man cannot find out the work that's done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, he cannot find it. We know things and are discovering things and are learning things that the wisest in this world can't know. 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, they can't know. Spiritually discerned. We know the deep things of God and praise the Lord for it. That's what he's saying. Man can't find out the things of God. Chapter 9. 9 is the number of judgment. See, 7 is the heavenly number. We're heavenly people. 8 is the new beginning. That's the shout. But 9, the judgment comes after the shout. That's 9. And isn't it interesting? 9 brings out Christ fully. Oh, you got to have the Spirit of God, but he's there. Christ fully. Isn't that lovely? Why 9? Why judgment? Because it's the judgment of Christ, just like we were singing, that has given us everything in him. O cross of Christ, O wondrous tree, what place can be compared with thee, where God's own Son was crucified for our sins, a ransom died judgment. I read verse 14. There was a little city. That's the Garden of Eden. First place, this earth is a little speck in the dust in the universe. But a lot of people think there could be men on other planets or life. But look at Psalm 115, verse 16. Psalm 115, verse 16. I got it reversed, maybe. What number is it? Yeah, I think it should be there. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth he's given to the children of men. All the rest of the Lord's. All the rest of the Lord's. This little earth, all right, there was a little city, the Garden of Eden, and few within it, Adam and Eve. And there came a great king against it, Satan. He's got power. He's powerful, but God's all powerful. Greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. And he besieged it. That's when he deceived Adam and Eve with a lie. He's the father of the lie, and he got him that way, to sin. And that was it. He besieged it and broke right in. And built great bulwarks against it. And what are bulwarks for? A continual bombardment. And he's continually bombarding everyone in that city, this world, earth. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Poor. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, he became poor. That through his poverty you might be rich. Poor. How poor? First verse, Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You'll never know how poor. Never. The weight of the brass can't be found out. Man. A poor, wise man. Wise. He's wisdom personified. Proverbs 8, read it. He's wisdom himself in person. Solomon got everything he knew from him. All the wisdom. Man. Poor, wise man. That's Christ. One God, one mediator between man and God, the man. Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. There it is, Christ. 9, judgment. Beautiful, isn't it? No man remembered that same poor man. His words are not heard. The end of verse 16. That's what you got today. That's what you got today. In Christendom, his words aren't heard. They like to have their ears tickled to get it, but his words aren't heard. They don't care about that same poor man. Chapter 10, I better move on. Chapter 10 is the number of responsibility of man towards God, and I would title this, Man's His Own Worst Enemy. It's self-harm. I won't go into too much. Verse 8, you can read it. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. He breaketh the heads of certain serpent shall bite him. Young people, the assembly's the hedge. The word of God's your garrison. Have him garrison you about and don't break the heads down, the serpent bites. That's what Solomon's saying. Self-destruction, how solemn. Shipwreck, how solemn. Demas has forsaken me, says Paul, having loved this present world. He's out there where serpent can bite him. Let's go on, I gotta get done. Chapter 11, finality of death. Chapter 11, finality of death. Verse 3, the tree fall toward the south, fall toward the north. The place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. It's all over then, forever. Verse 8, but if a man live many years, rejoice in them all. Let him remember the days of darkness, they shall be many. In verse 7, it says light is sweet. Light will never be so sweet as in hell. Blackness of darkness forever. One glimpse of the light will be so sweet. They'll never have it. One drop of water will be so precious, they'll never get it. We'll be in the presence of light forever. Presence of light forever. Oh, the contrast. All that cometh is vanity. It's vanity. Chapter 12, I'm there. I'm a clock racer. I'm there. Time for here, death for eternity, and judgment. That's what he's saying. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, young people, the wisest man that ever lived who tried everything. Says, don't try it. Remember the Lord while you're young. Take the blessing. Get full with Christ. Be happy. Let the dew come down. Let the blessings flow. Have the goodwill of him that dwells in the bush, he says. Oh, how wonderful to get this from the wisest man that ever lived. Now notice, He brings in the fact that youth goes pretty quick. I can say amen. It's fast, so fast. I'll just go quickly. When the sun and the light and the moon and the stars shall not be darkened, that's what you've got now. Nor the clouds return after the rain. You've got that, young people. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, that's the hands, they start to shake. The strong men shall bow themselves, that's the knees, they begin to give out. The grinders cease because they're few, that's the teeth. And those that look out of windows be darkened, that's the eyes. This comes quick. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, you don't go out much anymore. And when the sound of the grinding is low, you don't even hear a mill anymore, a factory. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, but you can't sleep. Even the bird gets you up. And all the daughters of music are brought low because you're not interested in that anymore. And when they shall be afraid, fear comes in. And the almond tree flourishes, there's white hairs now. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. I know my dear old mother was burdened by a cricket for a long time. I couldn't find it in the basement. The desire shall fail because man goes to his long home. I'm going. I'm going to my long home and I'm looking forward to it. I don't want anything to do with this world anymore. All I want to do with this world is give them what I got. I got what they need. That's the thought. And dust shall return to dust. 7. And the spirit returns to God. Vanity of vanity, says the speaker. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit if you're not going on with Christ. Oh, I hope you take this to heart. I had a poem I heard. It was sung, really. It's sort of worldly. But that poem reminded me of verse 3-7. Yeah, 3-7. I'm going to read it. I added one verse at the end. The snow's fallen a bit deeper these days, and they're building stairs a bit steeper these days, and the town really changed in so many ways. Time, time, time. Young folks are growing exceptionally tall, and a newspaper print is becoming unusually small. And folks speak so softly you can hardly hear them at all. Time, time, time. The jokes don't seem as witty as old jokes were, and girls aren't half as pretty as I remember her. And today in the park, a man even called me sir. Time, time, time. I breathe very heavy when I climb up the hill. What of it? My life is really much more fulfilled. But they're tearing down buildings. I watch them build. Time, time, time. I can't seem to remember what, where, or why, yet I recall so much of the days long gone by. And this morning, a mother told her boy, let that old man by. Time, time, time. I'm unable to eat brittle or even chew gum. What's steak taste like, I just imagine for fun. I sit on the bench, I bask in the sun. Time, time, time. But I'm not idle. I'm not bored with my lot. I'm waiting, and I'm watching, and I worry not, because my Lord's soon coming, and they'll just say, and he's not. Then no time, but eternity, my lot. Eternity, my lot. Young people, you haven't reached that yet. Comes fast. You know, we're filled up. I hope you're filled up. A good portion. Pressed down. Shaken together and overflowing. But if you go back in this world, Solomon tells you what's going to happen. There's loss. The bride in the Song of Solomon went into the city at night on the Broadway. Loss. Loss. She was hurt, too. The second time, not only lost, but she lost her dignity as a child of God, the bride. You can't take Christ to this world and go with the world. You can't do it. If Lee Mayhew didn't really think about that trip all the time, he couldn't have told me like he did. He had no words, but he did all right. I want to go. I hope you're able to do it. I'll just end up without turning to it, the bride, when she came back. She said, I'm sick of love. That's Paul. We just had it. I'm sick of love. What does that mean? I got such a longing for him. There's an ache here. I want to be with Christ. That's Paul. That's his ministry. That's what Demas forsook. And they said, who is he that thou art so moved? And she said, he's the chiefest among 10,000. There's none like him. He's altogether lovely. Isn't that lovely? That's what she said. He's altogether lovely. To me, he's precious, and he gets better every day. I just can't wait to get out tomorrow and tell somebody. You feel that way? Can't wait. We've got what they need, and it's so wonderful. Young people, don't let this world take away what the Lord's given you in the last 3 days. Get that banner up. It's love, and keep it there. And empty yourself. Go on down. Join Job in the dust. Hit it. And that's where you're blessed. Consider the end of Job. The end of Job. Oh, how wonderful. Let's sing a hymn.